William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Happiest Girl in the World, a novel by Elena Dillon, performed by Frankie Corzo and Mikayla Awesome. Author's note. This is the part where we explain that this novel is a work of fiction. References to real people, events, organizations, or locations are not harbingers of fact, but only a tool to provide a sense of authenticity. Everything else, characters, places, establishments, is the product of the author's imagination. And yes, yes, that is correct. This story is my creation. It came from my brain, but it also came from what we've seen in the news, all that was admitted and all that was denied. It was informed by the suffering of actual people, at the hands of actual people. The story in this book is not real, but it may, in fact, speak truth. Prologue. The Olympic Trials. I zero in on the spot across the floor, the exact spot, my launching pad. Nothing outside that spot matters. Not the white noise of the crowd, not my family in the stands, not my coach and what he did. It all fades into the background. And I run. I need to cover only 50 feet, but I put all my body's strength into crossing that distance as fast as I can. I go to that spot like a cheetah goes for a gazelle. My senses are heightened, and I feel the give of the carpet and the send-off of the spring. And it's as if the mat wants me to stay put, but knows I must go, like a good mother, the kind mine intends to be. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And this, a spring floor. As I sprint, I breathe deliberately in and out through pursed lips, my shoulders round forward to make my body aerodynamic, to slice through the air, a human imitating a rocket, and my arms are straight and swinging. Now I am a rocket, courageous and unstoppable, maybe even a little dangerous. I can't think of that now. I'm not allowed to feel on the gym floor. I bolt toward that spot, toward the gold, toward the end of my gymnastics career and freedom and womanhood and a new identity. My arms outstretch and reach for the rest of my life. I hurtle off one leg, dive forward onto one hand, and then the other, skimming over them. This part is child's play. I've been doing round-offs since I was 6 years old. I'm building momentum I'll eventually need. Back when I had time for anything other than training and my dad didn't look at me like I scared him, I used to play Super Mario Brothers with him and my twin brother Joe in our unfinished basement. It took 3 jumps to make Mario fly. The round-off is my first jump. When I'm inverted, I swing my legs together and my heels hammer into the floor as one. Jump 2. I bend my knees and throw myself backward. It goes against every survival instinct to jump without first looking where you're going, especially when leading with your head. So much about this life has meant working against every survival instinct. More than that, it's meant letting oneself die so another could be born over and over. Reincarnating at every training stage. I've already died at least 6 times to get to this moment. If I speak now, maybe I'll remember who I was at the beginning. Maybe I'll realize who I'm meant to become. I land upside down on my hands and push back to my feet. This motion is effortless. I'm functioning on autopilot, muscle memory. I've been doing back handsprings since I was 7. First the sprint, then the round off, and now a back handspring. I've gathered the speed of a locomotive. My wheels are whirring, my pistons are pumping. Hear that whistle? It's telling you that I can't stop now, so you better get out of my way. Jump 3. I land on the mat and hurl myself backward again, but this time all the gathered energy catapults me more vertically. I've trained so hard and so long. I've defied all reason, even gravity.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?